If you would turn with me to Luke 10, verse 38. Now, this is a very familiar story to us all, the story of Mary and Martha. My sermon title today is called Pop-Tarts or Potluck. And I find it very humorous that God gave me that last night as I was thinking about it. I am certainly looking forward to the potluck. These meatballs smell amazing. And I'm sure you all want to stone me right now. Don't worry, I won't eat them in front of you. Now, my hope today is to challenge you with this message. And it's been growing within me for the last year since I last spoke in front of you. And it's all about growing in God. And it all depends on how much time we spend with Him. Let's get to it. Now, again, I say, this is the classic tale of Mary and Martha that we all know. Jesus is paying a visit to them. And what would you do in this situation? I want you to think about, you're in their place. Jesus is coming to visit you. This is Jesus, the one who fed the 5,000, who turned water into wine. Would you not want to give your very best to Him? So, Mary starts cooking. She starts cleaning. And she looks over and she sees Mary, who's doing nothing. But she's sitting and listening at Jesus' feet. And like any self-respecting sister, she decides to make this known to Jesus. And she says, you know, Jesus, I'm cooking and cleaning. Do you think you could get Mary to come and help me? And Jesus' reply is not exactly what she was expecting. It says in verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her. Now, Martha gets a very bad rep about this. Everyone looks down on her, but think about it. Are we that much different today? We are so often busy in our day-to-day rituals that we don't even spend time with God. We just let it fall by the wayside. In fact, usually, we only have time for some Pop-Tarts. This is the quick reading of the word, maybe one or two verses, and then it's out the door for the rest of the day. No real time spent with God, but hey, I did my time, right? Now, Pop-Tarts aren't that nutritious. I looked at the nutrition facts. In fact, there's only 210 calories in this particular brand that I have with me. Not very satisfying. In fact, Pop-Tarts could be called a filler. Something to get you by until the next meal. I want to ask you today, are you satisfied with just enough to get you by? Or are you looking for something that is more sustaining? I want to bring you back to the very basics of our beliefs, because if you can't handle the basics, if you can't handle the very milk, how can you handle the meat that God has for you? Now, the first thing that you can do to form your relationship with God is reading this. Reading His Word. And one thing I want to say is, do not take our word for what we are preaching to you up here on the pulpit. Because because that's the Pop-Tarts. If you just take our word for it instead of searching it out and finding meaning in it for yourself, there's no use for it. So, We see an example of this in Acts 17:11, and it says, "The people of Berea searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth." Now, what was the result of this search? Verse 12 tells us. It says, "Many believed, both Jew and Greek." When you take time to search out what we're preaching to you, you'll find meaning in it for yourself. And when you find meaning for yourself, you start believing more and more about what this word is saying. Now, with your daily devotions, is there a specific amount that you need to read? No, there's not a set amount. But one of my teachers at, one of my professors, I'm sorry, Dr. Howell, in his theology and writing class that I took with him, he said he would rather that we read for understanding than just read to get it done. You will understand more when you read for understanding. Now, something fun that, if you don't know where to start, start at the beginning. And I mean in the beginning. Just kidding. Now, something fun that I got to learn, I'm taking a finance class, and it's online, and one of the videos are actually a preacher out in California, and he's teaching about the blessed life, about how tithing and whatnot will give you access to the things that God has for you. And he mentioned something that was very strange to me, but I went and searched it out for myself, and I'm starting to agree with him. He said that Jacob and Esau might not be the first twins in the Bible mentioned. And I'm like, wait, what? And he explained it. He said, Cain and Abel, our theologists are starting to think that they are. And it's found in Genesis 4. And it says, Adam knew his wife, she conceived, and bore Cain. And then goes on explaining the meaning of his name. And it says, and likewise, she bore Cain, or Abel. And the next time, it says that Adam knew his wife. So Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and so on. There's a little fun fact for you guys. Search it out for yourself. Just now, another thing that you can do is to meditate on the word. When you read for understanding, God is going to show you something within the word, like something will pop out. Meditate on that thing that pops out. Now, what's meditating? It's to think about over and over and over again. Another thing that will help you in meditating is memorizing scripture. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And it goes on to say, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." I just find this amazing. When I was studying it last night, "I have stored up your word in my heart." What does that mean? Memorizing it. Getting it in here. Because we're going to, the scriptures even say in the New Testament that there's going to come a day when we might not have this word. So what we have stored up in us is what we will be using. But the thing is, how do I know God's precepts and statutes? How do I not forget His word? By memorizing and meditating on it. Psalm 119:15, I'll repeat it. "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." When your eyes are fixed on something, Chloe, I'm using you. Or I'll use Nathan. It might seem less creepy. How can I turn and face the other direction if I am fixed on Nathan? If you are fixed on God, how can you sin? When you start memorizing Scripture, you are equipping yourself with a very important piece of armor of God. Ephesians 6:17 says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says that it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, how are you supposed to know what the difference between God's voice and the voice of the enemy is if you don't have anything to test the voices against? My God is not a condemning God. So if you start thinking or start remembering sins of old, sins of your past, that is not God. If you hear words like, you're not beautiful, what does God's word say? God says that you are the apple of his eye. So I have a challenge for you. Start memorizing Scripture. Even if it's one a week. And once you feel like you got that down, start going for two. Three. Start getting this into your heart. Because when you get this into your heart, you'll know it. And you'll be able to use it more effectively. The last of our basics that I'm going to teach you or tell you about is prayer. Now, I leave this one for last because it is the most important. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." When you're seeking after God with everything that you are in constant communication with him. Constant communication is praying. Now, some examples of prayer. In the Old Testament, we have Daniel. He prayed 3 times a day. And it was one of the reasons why he got arrested and thrown into the lion's den. He prayed for wisdom concerning dreams that he had. But the one that we really should be modeling after is Jesus. He was constantly going off to pray. And it was during all times. Mark 1:35, he rose up early while it was still dark to pray. Luke 6:12, he stayed up all night to pray. Now, I believe that this is where he got his power from. Learning from Dr. Howell, we learned this in his class, that he was fully God, but he was fully man at the same time. Philippians 2, which is the kenosis passage, when he comes down, it says that he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now this means that he did not use his divinity at all to perform his miracles. He could have, but he didn't. So where did he get the power from? It was this constant communication with his Father. And we have access to that same power. Now I know I'm bringing you all over to the Bible with these different verses, but just hang with me. Psalm 91, which is one of my favorite passages. Says this, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What does it mean to dwell? To abide in? It's to stay in this one place. Later on it says that he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. In other versions it says bulwark. Now a bulwark is this, it's like a tower, where it keeps you safe, but you can also attack from. When you come home at night, do you just go straight to bed and leave it at that? Or do you spend time with God? Your house is your secret refuge. It should be a safe place where you can go in and spend time with God. It's a place where it's full of intimacy and rest. Now, praying is dialogue. It is not monologue. But all too often, hey God, I'm really struggling right now. You know, we lay all our issues onto Him, but we don't wait for Him to respond. Again, we think we've done our time. But my challenge to you, I have another one. I have three challenges for you. My second challenge to you is to, if you pray for a certain amount of time, wait equally as long. So if you pray for 30 minutes, wait 30 minutes for an answer from God. See what He has to say to you. Because this life is about a partnership. It's a friendship that we are walking side by side with Him. And it says numerous times in His Word, if you call, I will answer. How can we expect Him to fulfill His promise if we aren't even listening to His reply? So, getting back to my Pop-Tarts or the potluck. Because the potluck represents time spent with God, where you sit down. Because a potluck is a smorgasbord, right? There's lots of different choices. God has a whole bunch of different things for you. But you need to sit down and taste it. You need to spend time with God. So what would you rather have? The Pop-Tarts or the potluck? Because if you want the potluck, it's going to cost you something. But what you gain from that cost is so much greater. You'll start hearing from God more, the more time you spend with Him. But in return, He might ask you to go talk to a coworker that you don't want to talk to give them an encouraging word. Our lives are not our own, but rather we are in the service. Now, here's my last challenge for you. I don't know when Lent starts or whatever. I'll have to probably check into that. But I challenge you for the next 40 days, which is the amount of time that Jesus spent in the wilderness fasting and praying. I challenge you for the next 40 days to pick something out of your normal daily schedule. It could be anything, watching TV, maybe spending time with a loved one, and spend it with God. Whether it's reading His Word, praying, meditating on His Word, I recommend all three. But you need to be intentional about this. Because if you're not, it's just going to fall to the wayside. If the music team would come up, I'm closing up. I would like everyone to close your eyes and bow their heads. What is the Spirit of God saying to you? For some, it might be an answer to what He wants. He would like to be moved so you can spend more time with Him. For others, it just may be the call to spend time with Him. I want you to listen to the words of this song that the music team is going to be playing. It's basically the sum of everything that I've just